Hi, and welcome to episode 6 of the Let Them Speak podcast, a podcast inspired by the book that is now released and available on Amazon, Let Them Speak, a book that details how educators can transform their school by listening to student voice. You can go to letthemspeak.net for more information. We are back. Dr. Small is back. She's not on admin. Well, she's on admin duties, but she is back on the podcast. Dr. Small, it's great to have you back.
I am excited to be back on the podcast. As you know, that I will be leaving Central High School next year to join Central Academy staff. So I was absent, but not absent in spirit. So always excited to be back on Let Them Speak.
Yes, let them. She was out there doing her thing, y'all. Okay, we have a very special guest this week. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Okay, great. First of all, I'm really excited to be here. I'm Jennifer Cribley, and I am a social studies teacher here at Central High School. I teach world history and geography classes, so I think those offer a lot of opportunity for students to speak and find their voice. So I'm really excited to answer some questions that you have for me today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm excited, too. Our first question is, the whole purpose of this podcast is how student voice can transform our schools. So our first question is, what is student voice to you?
I really think student voice is has a couple different components to it. One is finding your voice. What is your voice? I think a lot of students have a joint voice with their friends, and they don't always have their own belief system or ideas or their own structure to their voice. And I think part of our role here is to help students find their own personal voice, not just following their friends. So that's one part of it. And then the second part is, how do they get to express that voice? And we have opportunities throughout our curriculum here at Central High School to allow students to use their voice in the classroom. But I think it's having a student voice is having the opportunity to share your ideas, your beliefs, opinions, and it can be in a variety of different ways. It doesn't have to be an oral speech in front of the class.
Right.
It can be through writing. It can be through artistic expression. I think there are all sorts of different ways for the students to be able to take what they've determined is their voice and ideas, and be able to present that to whether it's their teacher or to their peers.
And I really like how, you know, how she's formed it into, it's not always about the certain subject area. So you teach history and geography. It's not always, student voice is not always tied to a subject area. Mm-hmm. It's so much deeper than that. And I really like how she put that forth.
Yes, thank you for sharing. And I'm excited because I don't supervise or support the social studies and English departments, but I get to walk in and see the relationship piece with your students. And that's something, and that's why we really wanted to have you on Let Them Speak. You seem to have a really good rapport with your students, and it seems like an easy, flowing relationship. So that leads us to our next question. How do you, Ms. Cribley, use student voice in your classroom to impact instruction or to change instruction for students?
Okay, well, I try to offer opportunities for students to determine what their opinion is on a particular topic. So we'll use forums, we might use opportunities for them to make posters that might showcase what they believe on things. But I do try to offer some choice projects throughout the school year. So that means if I've got a student that is really great at art and they love art, but they really don't like reading the textbook. This is an opportunity for them to take what they've read or what they've learned and then turn it into something that they love. And
that's
so
great.
We might do, if you're a great storyteller, you might tell a story. You might write a journal entry. I'm thinking of one in particular. We do a Renaissance and Reformation project where they get 8 different options they can pick from to showcase what they've learned on the topic. And so we try to give them opportunities to be creative with their ideas and their voice. That's one of the ways. But another way, I try to get a lot of student feedback. This is my first year teaching AP World History. And it's been a learning process. Mm-hmm, what works well for students? What doesn't work well? We've tried some different techniques, getting feedback. They don't really like this. All right, we'll try something else. They really don't like that. So now we've gone back to, all right, maybe this technique for learning is a better approach now that we've both felt out different
That's
ways
really
to do
good.
It.
That's very good.
So we've done some work on that, and I know I tell them they're my little guinea pigs this year, but honestly, getting their feedback is going to help me to be a better teacher in the long run, too.
And I feel like so many educators now, they feel like they don't have time to do that because of how many things they have to get in by for the state and the federal government. But is it really that difficult to allot time for student voice? Is it really different to change your lesson plans to do what's best for your kids in the classroom? I don't...
Well, I think yes and no. Yeah. I think that it does take some time.
Sure.
I think if you go in with the attitude, though, that hopefully by getting that feedback and the information from those students that you'll be able to apply that in future lessons, and it will reduce
That's
the amount
really
of time
good.
That you have. So yes, you, there is some legwork up front. I would not, I'd be remiss to say that it right. doesn't take some time and effort to do that. But the end goal then is that you're going to come up with a system that will work, and you know, selfishly for you too,
you
want it to be a system that works, that's still applying the rigor that's necessary and the challenge for those students, because you know, sometimes this is too hard. Mm-hmm. Well, what can we do to still make it challenging, but provide an opportunity to maybe include some things that really the students enjoy?
That's really
that
good.
They can focus
yes.
on.
Thank you. And Ms. Cribbley really answered question number three as well, didn't she?
Yeah, and it was,
but, yeah.
yeah, it's just basically, I guess we could go back into it. Do you think that, as an educator, do you think that you would be reaching the milestones that you're reaching now without allowing student voice in your classroom?
I think that in... I don't necessarily do a formal feedback or
right.
formal structure mm-hmm. to it. And I think that if I did that and allotted, okay, we're going to do this like a survey after every, I don't know that that would really actually help benefit us mm-hmm. in any way. But I do think by getting that feedback from my students, we do achieve some greater success.
Greater now, success.
And sometimes that feedback, I'll use it and we'll find that it's not
Right.
the best.
Right.
And
yes,
so
yes, yes.
and that's great for the students then to see, well, I've made that effort. We've tried it your way. We didn't master that material the way that we
that's
hoped.
Really good.
And so now we've got to maybe start evaluating together. All right, maybe Mrs. Cribbley's idea wasn't so bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But she gave me a shot, and now we're going to maybe work it back to something that's more of a compromise. And so I do think that using what you learn from your students can help you to achieve great things, but also gives them an opportunity to understand why you might do the things the way that you do.
That's
so
really good.
By having that mutual respect and open dialogue on why I require
right.
them to do certain things,
mm-hmm.
it helps them to better understand why we're doing things the way we do in a classroom.
And I love your point of what you said, like, it doesn't have to be formal. I love the mindset that you come into the classroom with every day, and it's kind of just like a open mindset. That's okay. We're in a classroom right now, and a student walked in, but we are off the cuff here. It is a live podcast.
Thank you.
Because we have to do things throughout the school day and do the Let Them Speak podcast. But I was just saying, it doesn't always have to be a formal application. You can just tell your students, it's an open conversation in my class. We have to learn what we have to learn. We have to do what we have to do. But that doesn't mean that you cannot speak up.
And I think what's really powerful is that when you allow this process to happen, you guys are having that open dialogue, and it's ongoing. It's not manufactured. Like you said, it's not, we could do formal surveys and Google Forms, but it's having those conversations and adjusting your instruction and your practice in the moment, because you want it to happen very organically. You don't want it
right.
to just be something another thing we do. It's a It sounds like it's just a natural part
right.
of what you do every day, which makes me really excited, Isaiah, because we really wanted you to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
We felt like that.
Yeah.
And in what you're sharing with us even is further example that of how you use student voice in the classroom. So this is great.
Yes.
So now, and I think our next question was, how has student voice impacted your ways of teaching your students? But you've answered that very thoroughly. And you kind of spoke to, we wanted to know, was there a specific time that you allow students to speak up? But it seems like you explained that it's embedded in what you do.
It's just what, every day. It's an everyday thing.
It's who you are as a teacher.
So I just, for the last thing, do you think that allowing that open conversation type, like you can speak up about this, tell me what you think so I can make this better, what can we do as a team, do you think that leads to the mastery of content more than it would saying, like, you know what, we're just going to do it this way, I'm not going to allow student voice? So what are your thoughts on that?
I do think that it helps with the mastery of content. But I also think, I really feel like this is two-part as well. Mm-hmm. It's very important for our students to obviously master the material and do well on you know, any assessments that showcase that they've learned that material. But also, I think a strong component of student voice is that we're teaching our students how to use their voices after high school.
That's really good.
Especially from a social studies perspective, we're trying to prepare for informed citizens when they leave high school. So part of what I said earlier was, I want students to be able to form their own opinion, their own voice, because when they leave high school, I want them to do their research, be informed, make sure that they can voice their opinion.
That's
and
really
then
good.
Secondarily, how do they go about doing that? And so, for instance, with my advisory students who are seniors, who often have very strong opinions on things, they haven't quite mastered how do they get that their voice to be heard. And we want to make sure that you're not just making a fuss.
Yeah.
How do you take that, formulate it into
something that's
good dialogue.
Yeah, that's constructive.
That's absolutely.
Yeah, that's
and
really
will
good.
Will really cause a chain reaction in a positive way, and you'll see evidence of things changing.
Absolutely.
Versus just a gripe session about this, and certainly it will be great for them to be here to be a part of the podcast, because we want students to speak out. We want this to be an example of how we're sharing this in a positive way. Twitter, email, Facebook.
Right.
Because students need to know. I love that you said we want them to be informed citizens when they leave high school.
Yeah, that's good.
Because nobody's going to coach them they could get a coach, but nobody's going to be there to hold their hand in the same manner. And how do you make changes, or how do you advocate for yourself if you learn differently or if you need different experiences? Right. So,
And we are in a good position as social studies teachers that we can talk about how people have used their voice throughout history to achieve change and a lot of times we're focused so much on change that we forget about that you can use your voice to support things.
Yes.
And
yes.
Having students
That's
support
really good.
Something in the classroom. All right, you've taken this stance now. What is your support for it?
That's
I think
really
a
good.
Lot of times our students will, once they've figured out they've got an opinion on something,
they
can't back it up. They don't understand how to support their opinions, and then further how to voice those in a constructive manner. And so I think with social studies, we're in a good position that we can talk about how people have done that over the years.
That's really good.
And especially if they're required to take a government class too, we teach the history of it. When they get to government, they start really thinking about opinions and learning the framework for how they can be better citizens going on after high school. Because I always tell them, you know, when you leave the doors here, you're essentially my peer, and I want to like you. I want you to be an informed citizen that is, you know, we might not agree on everything, but I want you to know how to disagree constructively.
Yeah. That's really
and be
good.
That positive change agent. Because there is a fine line between being a being wanting change and going about it the right way so that people can really hear you, listen, and they're compelled to take action. So that's a very good point.
And from an advisory student standpoint, we've talked a number of times this year about, oh, we don't like this at school, or we don't like this. Well, great, we're complaining about, what are the steps that we need
speak
to take?
Speak out, what's the step?
What do we need to do? Who do you talk to? Is it something that administration can't even do? Do you need to go and talk to our board? Making sure you understand what the steps and stages are, not just, I want to complain. So
that's really good.
Making sure, all right, I figured out what my opinion is. Now, what are my next steps? And really talking about that, talking about your basis for your opinions and things like that. I really think that we need to make sure we fully understand what student voice is first, and then be able to use that effectively.
And that's extremely powerful, because they don't even know the power that they have to make those changes.
Yeah.
Some do, but collectively, and giving constructive feedback to make those changes, they don't realize how powerful that is. So that's really good. I think this is one of our one of our deepest podcasts ever.
This was great.
Yes.
So thank you so much
You're
for joining
welcome.
Us. Thanks for tuning in to episode 6, Social Studies Meets Student Voice, on the Let Them Speak podcast. Be sure to order Let Them Speak on Amazon by searching Let Them Speak, a book by Rebecca Cota and Rick Jetter that details how to transform your school by listening to student voice. And be sure to go to letthemspeak.net for more. We will see you next week on the next episode of
Let Them Speak,
a podcast that will tell you how to transform your school by using student voice. Thanks so much.